the Rick Emerson Show. We're live from Portland. It's 503-733-2. Line 70. 503-733-2970. Let's, without further ado, let me hear.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Where is Scotty?
I'm looking towards the door.
Oh.
All right, there you go. Don't make me come look for you. Scotty J, how are you, sir?
Really good. Right in the middle of an email, so that's what, you know.
I'm sorry. Am I distracting you from something important?
No, that's what took me so long.
You seem a little frazzled today.
I am, actually.
Why? Would you like to tell the people why you're frazzled? Are you trying to spell?
Because I'm trying to spell.
Are you trying to spell again?
And I want to go, meet up with the Queensryche. That's right.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan. By
the way, are you going to go see Queensryche?
Well, they're
I'm not going to see the concert.
They're doing kind of they're doing kind of a private thing. See, I don't get to see Storm tomorrow. But they're doing a little Queensryche thing at Kink because they're Kink and therefore allowed to do whatever they want. So they're doing a little Queensryche like an acoustic thing. Because I am from the 90s, I'm a Queensryche fan. And I didn't peg you as one, though. So you're...
Oh, huge fan, and I've been to like four of their concerts.
All right. Do you sing along in a falsetto when you go to see them? You go, "The Lady with Black!"
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, all right. But you are assembling some of the best of material, right?
Yes.
So I don't even want to say what it is you're looking for, but you're in there, Scotty's in there just combing through hundreds of hours of audio. You're trying to find a particular thing, and I don't even want to say what it is, but you're trying to find a particular thing just to put into the best of
you are
creating.
I learned a huge lesson here today.
What did you learn today, Scotty?
Well, every day we have that live journal, number one,
yeah.
And so I'm glad that that's there, but... What I need to do is put a little marker every day that I pull something off the skimmer.
Every day that there's genius on this program?
Just as a reminder for the future, because it could be, months down the road that you want to pull something out of there, and we have no idea even what month it was, so...
Well, yeah. I'm just lucky that that's not my job, aren't I? all right, well, let's... A couple things. First of all, when we're done here, we got to get Scott Daly on, because I can't... We can't talk to him next week. It's going to be too difficult because it's one of those things where there was a bachelor party planned for Aaron, and it's like, I forgot about it. I hope I'm not blowing secret by talking. I hope they're not springing. Well, too late.
No, Scott already mentioned it.
But did Aaron already mention it?
No.
No, but Scott did today. He said,
Scott,
hey.
Oh, Scott said it on the air. Okay, so there you go. So if Aaron didn't know about it, he does now. And the thing is that Jen's bachelorette party was like a year ago, so I don't know. This is sort of a put-together-at-the-last-minute thing, and I don't know what happens at a geek bachelor party, so it's all going to be very... I don't function well at bachelor
it's
party.
It's a bunch of Jiffy Pop popping and movie watching.
Yeah, well, I just don't... I don't know how that's gonna unfold. Okay, so here's what we got to get... It's me leaning on the microphone. Here's what we got to get done today. We got to give away Star Wars. We got a pair of... Is it one pair or two?
I believe we have two left.
So we have two pair of passes to the OMSI Star Wars exhibit, and we have two copies of Return of the Jedi. Now, here's what we've got. We've got you guys set aside some pop culture, like a pop culture trivia pursuit thing, like a sort of a, like a best of three thing, like if a listener can beat me at that. So we've got that, and then we've got this spelling thing. Now, for those of you who heard yesterday's program, somebody asked me if you could spell reprehensible. Go.
R-E-P-R-E... H-E-N-C-A-B-L-E.
Reprehensible.
Well,
reprehensible.
Like I said, I would never do well standing on stage doing a thing, but half the time when I'm writing it down, that doesn't look right, and I can correct it. Or use spell check. And secondly, I was thinking about this last night, the spell check thing. I know we've had this conversation. I'll make it very brief. I don't look at the correction the computer makes. I just assume it's correct and move on. Therefore, I'm not learning. That's my fault. Thank you.
Did this all just come to you? I could have saved you time by telling you all this yesterday. that you are, you as George Bush would
sometimes
say...
Sometimes it takes some time to sink in.
Yeah, you got to drive, through the tunnel and you see the sun, Sunset Highway, and epiphanies come to you. It happens to me daily.
Can you spell epiphany?
I think so. E-P-I... No. Yeah, E-P... Just a second. Give me a second. E-P...
15%...
I-P-H-A-N-Y.
Yes!
Yes, you got one
Thank
right!
Thank you very much.
That's the first thing you've correctly spelled in the studio. Fantastic. Well done. So a couple things. So, A, if you have, if you're online, people are asking about the test you took, the spelling test you took yesterday, which you scored 50%.
Yeah, they want to know where that
is. It's online. It's at rickemerson.com.
Oh, okay.
I posted it at rickemerson.com. You can go there right now. You can take it, because I got this. We got this email. This guy says, Rick, cut Scotty some slack. I just took the online test, and I missed 19. I am a member of Mensa. I have a master's degree in medical illustration and received A's throughout.
I
it should
too.
Be noted, by the way, that he uses an apostrophe when he says received A's throughout. I've always done well on tests, and I am, for the most part, a good speller. This test is difficult since it makes you question yourself every step of the way. The test, in short, sucks. That being said, Scotty J is still a tool. Cheers.
I think you guys should take it, because I'm the more you look at it, I'm serious, like on the accident.
The test gets
like,
inside your head.
Oh, wait a second. Yeah, it's like, oh, is it have two L's or one?
Yes,
you should, Sarah. You should.
We can't both take it.
It's not to make fun of you.
I don't remember where it is. Is it on your website?
Go to rickemerson.com. If you go to, and I put it there, I meant to put it there last night and I didn't, because we had this whole idea. So here's the thing. So we got a lot of stuff to get done before I leave, because I'm not here tomorrow. So we're talking to Peter Carlin later, talking to Roop later. We'll get a little bit with Scott Daly later. Bottom of the hour, we'll hear from Tim again. And then we've got to give away these two pairs of passes to the Star Wars OMSI exhibit. Now, one of those we can do with a pop culture test. Push comes to shove, we can have Tim Savage do it tomorrow, but he's only here for 2 hours. One of those hours is the news hour. It's going to be very, and I want to overload the guy with stuff to do.
It's good filler, though.
I'm just saying, I'd like to get it done, so it's one less thing he kind of has to worry about. I mean, I don't want to stress the guy out and pile on some, because it's hard for me to get the giveaways, and I do this every day. So we have the pop culture trivia question. The trivia questions. We can do that. But we wanted to do a Scotty J spelling bee. But we felt like the only way to really do it was to have you face off against someone with equal spelling skills, which would probably be either some sort of impaired adult or a child, I would guess, probably the age of 11 or 12. But that, in turn, is complicated by the fact that it is, what, it's like one something, and all the kids are all in school, though, aren't they?
That's correct.
So they're probably, so really, if a kid is not in school right now, you know, there probably is some sort of reason why that, it probably would not be a fair fight, then. If a child is not in school as of now, it seems like the child probably has larger issues and would be unable to best you in any sort of a spelling contest.
Well, I gotta tell you, it's just like the letter that guy sent in. He has a doctorate. Or whatever, he said.
Sarah's taking the test right now, by the way. So
straight A's in English classes and papers that I wrote. And
where did you go to school?
On and on. Well, I went to school at Mount Hood Community College.
No, but where did you go to high school at?
Hillsborough.
Okay. Well, I'm seeing. I don't know anything about Hillsborough. I'm just saying. Look, I got to tell you, and I don't mean to knock the American educational system any more than I have to, because that's the thing that gets done a lot on this show. I'm just saying. I will not use the person's name. I'm just saying, the valedictorian when I went to school, one of the dumbest people I've ever met in my life. Really, the valedictorian couldn't find her ass, two hands, and a map. Really, so I don't know that I put a lot of I don't have a lot of truck with that.
Well, the other thing they say, some people are big readers, some people are big, you know.
Hi, Helen.
You know. Some people are good at computers and whatnot.
And you are what? Which where?
I'm pretty
what
much,
category do you fall?
I'm not really sure, because all my stuff is just kind of 75%, I guess.
Or 50, it's like 50%. Or 50%. So, all right. So, here's the thing. So, here's what we're going to do. Sarah is finishing up the spelling test that Scotty took yesterday. If you have... and I will just kind of throw this out there, because otherwise we're not going to be able to do it. That's the thing. There's no... The only way we could do a spelling bee and have it be fair is if, A, we could find, like, a fifth grader. And by all means, if you've got a fifth grader around the house today, you just have you call up and we'll set it up and we'll do it today. Now, if your fifth grader, are you done with the test?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Okay,
don't hit
this.
Submit yet. So I got to get this business done, though, before we break. So if you have a fifth grader, fourth grader, if you have a child of any kind around there who's of spelling age around the house, if your child can beat Scotty J at the spelling bee, you'll win a pair of passes. Think about the bonding experience this could be. You'll win a pair of passes to the OMSI Star Wars exhibit, which opens Saturday the 21st. You'll also win Return of the Jedi on DVD. If we are not able to find anybody who has a child that can do the spell off against you, then we'll have to find we'll just have to find an equally bad speller, and I'm not really sure how that is possible. So we may end up having to do it with the pop culture.
Guy was calling in yesterday, and apparently he told his boss that he was going to try as hard as he could to spell against me, and his boss started laughing because he is the worst speller on the planet, and he was like begging to get tickets.
All right. Let's take a couple of these, and then we'll give the update. People have asked about the Dane Cook interview. We'll do this.
And that is Scotty J.
And then we'll find out what Sarah's score is.
I'm not even going to re-look at them. I just went through once.
Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
It's John.
Hey, John. How are you?
Not bad. Hey, I wanted to do the go head to head with you on the pop culture trivia.
We may have to do that if we can. I would say by the bottom of the hour. I would say by about 1:30, if we're not able to find anybody, by which I mean a 12-year-old, because we're right in the middle of the school year. This is working a lot better in the summer. If we're not able to find a child to go up against Scotty in the spelling bee, it'll have to be the pop culture test.
Washington County schools are out of school tomorrow.
But I won't be here. Oh, that would just be the cruelest.
I would have my daughter Zoe call in. She's a fifth grader.
How do you feel about Zoe's spelling abilities?
Better than mine, and I'm 40.
And besides, how do we know if he's not standing there and slipping the correct?
Because my listeners are honorable people, Scott.
I couldn't. You know what? I don't even want to take the test. If it wasn't for spell check and this little machine that I have that phonically spells words, I'd probably. And I have a high IQ. I mean, doesn't everybody? But and I can't spell. For anything, but that's just my own personal handicap.
All right, I'll tell you what. We'll put you on hold here. We'll get information from you depending on how the pop culture thing works out. We may or may not have gonna do. We'll probably end up just taking a random caller to do that, but we'll see. But you've got spunk, sir. I admire your moxie.
Sure. All right. I appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Hang on. All right. Let me update everybody on the Dane Cook thing. Then we will find out what Sarah's score on this spelling test is. People have been asking about the Dane Cook thing because we lined up that guy who had volunteered to be me for the Dane Cook interview because Employee of the Month is doing really badly. And so they sent me an email and they said, would you like to interview Dane Cook on your radio program? And I have no interest in that. But somebody off the air? No, I believe that's... we're still on the air. There's an alarm going off somewhere. Is there a couple that's off the air?
Yes, Smokey is.
Yeah, but it can't be us because we'd be hearing about it. The people that's got to be them.
There he goes.
All right. There's an alarm that goes off in this building. It sounds like a fire alarm. It's whenever any of the stations are off the air. And it's always just like the default setting is that it's us. But because Employee of the Month is tanking, suddenly Dane Cook is available for interviews. I have no interest in interviewing Dane Cook, but we have some listeners who volunteered to pretend to be me. I got in touch with the Dane Cook interview people. I have not heard back yet. They do have your phone number, though, Scotty. The hotline number is the number they have. So at any point today, or for that fact, tomorrow, it may actually come out tomorrow. They may just call you and say, like, hey, are you ready to take Dane Cook? They know what hours we're on. I told him what hours were best, so you may get a call on the hotline at some point tomorrow. Some guy just going, hey, can you do Dane Cook in like 15 minutes?
I think Gymnasium would be good at talking to Dane Cook.
Probably.
Right. Now, he could. However, we do have a listener that is already... We have a listener that's already prepared 5-6 questions and wants to
You have all the content. All right. Well, people have been asking about the status of the Dane Cook thing. So that is what it is. So I will let you know. So that is the thing we may hear about that. All right. Sarah Dillon.
All right.
So
I probably did worse than Scotty. My karma.
By the way, if you're on hold, Scotty's sort of in here with us at the moment. So hang tight. We'll kind of get to these calls here in a second. And then we'll get the Scott Daly to talk about Aaron's bachelor party. We got more of Tim coming up. We have Jim Roop, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Sarah Dillon. So this is... Don't hit it yet.
Come on.
So this is the spelling test that Scotty J took yesterday. To test his spelling prowess, he scored 50%, because there are 50 questions, and it's just an either-or. They give you two spellings of a word, one correct, one not. He scored 25 out of 50, so straight across 50%, which is an F, by the way. And no better than an ape would do.
No, I consider that average.
It's not 50%. Average. It's not average. It's not average. It's what a blind man would get if he was randomly pushing buttons on the screen. So... Sarah Dillon, you have taken the test. Are you ready to hit submit? Now, you got to guess, though. Out of 50, how many do you think you got?
Oh, God. I don't know.
I feel like you got 42.
No, that's
going
to mean I got like 20.
All right. I guess 30.
Sarah Dillon is submitting.
And it's 15 words.
So you got 35.
Yeah. That's a 70%. That's a C.
Is that a 70? Is that a 70%?
Yeah, because that's 35 out of 50.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so 70%. So that's a passing grade, which is more than I can say for some in this room. All right, so there you go. 35. What did you miss? Give me an example. What's the worst? What's the most embarrassing word you missed?
I don't know this first word. Desiccate?
Desiccate. Yeah, it means to dry out.
Okay. Desiccate, indispensable. Pursue, embarrassment, liquefy.
Embarrassment always screws me. I always thought it was
one R, two S's. I was wrong.
Yeah, no, I never get that one right.
Minuscule. I thought it was minuscule, but it's minuscule.
Minuscule?
Yeah.
All right. Well, don't give me... Yeah, all right. So...
Also, see, now you're totally screwed.
You might have to take this.
No. I just don't want to see. I'm going to obsess about it now, though. All right. Well, let's break here. We'll come back. Oh, can we not break?
There might be something going on with the audio vault. So I said to not go into a stop set.
All right, okay. Well,
maybe we can play a song or something.
Well, why don't you...
Yes.
Let's all have a sing-along. Well, why don't you rustle up Scott Daly? Bottom of the hour, we'll have Tim Riley back from the Ministry of Truth. Rick Emerson Show. Hello, who is this?
It's Scott Daly.
You're like, that's weird. I just conjured you.
Well, I got a voicemail. Scotty J called like 10 minutes ago. I was like, oh, crap, I missed it, so I'm calling back.
And I just said your name, and here you are.
Imagine that.
Fantastic. All right.
Do you want me to call back or do it now?
No. Let's not make this day any more complicated than it seemingly already has become. This is like yesterday with planes hitting buildings and things exploding and so forth. Jesus.
Just
all right.
Kind of weird.
All right. Well, I am not going to be here tomorrow, so I want to do just kind of a heads up. First of all, is there anything coming up movie-wise people have to care about?
No. You would think this time of year, Halloween, there were some decent horror films, but no. Last week we got Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning. Crap. And then tomorrow we've got The Grudge 2, which was screened for press.
Okay.
So, no, we got Bupkis.
I was a big fan of the original Grudge. I mean, not a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
I liked The Grudge. I do realize that guy, though, I forget his name, but the Asian guy that made The Grudge, I mean, he's made the same film effectively like 15 times now.
Because, yeah, he's just repeating himself over and over again.
Well, he made The Grudge in, what is it, Japan? Is that where it's from? Is it a Japanese film? The Grudge in Japan, then The Grudge 2 in Japan. Then
correct.
He made a TV movie of The Grudge in Japan, and then a TV movie of The Grudge 2 in Japan.
And now
he has made The Grudge in theaters here and The Grudge 2. So he has made this is now the sixth time that Grudge guy has made what is essentially the same film.
Hey, man, anything for a rhyme, right?
No, it's fine. So I mean, the original Grudge, not the best movie ever, but I mean, legitimately scary. You know,
I totally want to watch the second one.
The thing about The Grudge is that it conjured, it did what is hard to do. It had dread and it had creepiness.
Mm-hmm.
And dread and creepy, because anybody can just have a movie that's scary because it's like, well, the cat jumps out of the darkness and then there's a da-da-da-da-da on the soundtrack. And The Grudge had something where you were just sort of like, you just felt like you were crawling on the walls. You know what I mean? Like it had the little white-faced kid that was like appearing in the window and she's taking the elevator.
Those of us who saw The Grudge, the audience is going to be for Grudge too, same group. But how many times can you hear that? You know, I mean, it's done.
Is it the same? I mean, I don't know anything about it. Is it the same movie? Is it the same plot?
Pretty much. Wow. I think it's Sarah Michelle Gellar's sister this time. She is now in a coma or something in a hospital. Oh. I didn't see the original sequel, so I don't know how close to the original sequel it is.
Do you know anything about Sarah Michelle Gellar doing a nude scene in an upcoming film?
No, I do not.
All right. I read some story this morning about Sarah Michelle Gellar hiring a personal trainer because she's got some nude scene that she's going to be doing in some upcoming film. And Sarah Michelle Gellar, not even a girl that I really aspire to see. Like, I never really dream about seeing her nude, but of course I'll have to. It's one of those things. So
we'll get the Film Fever news team on that and let you know as soon as we find out.
Speaking of the Film Fever news team, this is a good time to talk about. So what is the deal with Aaron's bachelor party? When is it happening?
It's happening next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday. Yes.
All right.
He knows about the bachelor party.
All right.
But he doesn't know what's going on.
All right.
So not going to divulge any information about that.
All right. But I mean, is this?
Rick, don't ruin it.
I'm not ruining it, Aaron.
These are off the air questions.
I'm asking Aaron. So Aaron, I'm not going to get a chance to ask him. So I mean, is this? Look, am I going to end up covered in?
You want to put him on hold and I'll ask him.
Am I going to be covered in stripper scent by the end of the night? You can tell me.
Well, Rick, let's put it this way: be sure to wear your Gilmore Girls.
Oh God! And that's totally right. It's totally going to be when I'm on. I mean, it's going to be during Hat Week, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
Oh God!
And most of us will be drunk most of the evening, so just be prepared for that as well.
Oh, great. So this is going to be when I'm all, when I got the scab head going on.
Yeah, and then, Rick, do you realize this, that if you somehow cancel or decide not to show up, we will come and find you.
Great. That's fantastic.
There's no way out of this.
So there is no, because here's the thing. It's like my brother James got married a couple months ago, and he and his friends did a bachelor party. And I just didn't respond to the email. I just did the whole, like, oh, email? I never got an email about a bachelor party. I don't know what you're talking about. So,
yeah.
Because it was just totally, it's one of those things where I just don't really feel like I belong. I just don't really fit in there. So.
Well, you will belong, and you will be there, and we will see to that. And I'm taking the next day off from work.
Have you thought about getting him a green-skinned woman? I know the way to a geek's heart. And you get one of those chicks from Star Trek. It's got the
that might be arranged.
It's got the
so
green skin.
Who knows what's
going to
happen this evening?
All right.
But yeah, good times will be had by all, no doubt.
All right, fantastic. There you go, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Thank you, sir.
We have a great episode this week. We just talked about horror films all the whole episode, and just the first horror film experiences as kids.
Excellent.
And it's just what makes great horror film and what doesn't. So,
FilmFeverRadio.com is where you can find that. And is it posted now?
It'll be posted tomorrow. So today's Thursday. We self-edit it. It'll be posted tomorrow afternoon.
Excellent.
Probably tomorrow morning, actually.
All right, man. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have a good weekend. I will talk to you next week, my friend.
You have fun in Seattle.
Thank you. I will. There you go. Scott Daly, ladies and gentlemen, FilmFeverRadio.com. It seems the audio vault's working again. We'll take a break here. Come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we're giving away Star Wars OMSI passes. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Unwise. Hello.
She can't hear today, though?
No.
Okay.
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming back. 503-733 House of Midnight. 503-733-2970. In a few seconds here, we'll be joined by your personal savior, Tim Riley, at the Ministry of Truth. Rick, about this spelling test. I took the damn test and I only missed six words. Six words, bitches, and I'm Puerto Rican. I swear to God it says that. And then it's signed, Idiotas Rodriguez, out. All right. It's 503-733-2970. In a few moments, we'll have Tim Riley here. And then we've got Scotty. After that, is the daughter there with him? The spelling bee daughter? Okay. We'll do that here in a few. All right. So, Ed, hang on, my friend. Later on, senior radio correspondent Jim Roop, also Peter Carlin for the Oregonian, Lycus at 3, Donna Mike at 7, and so forth. Once again, it's that time. News? We have some news. Tim, that voice is real dangerous because I just want to do everything that way now. It's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Thank you.
Now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A 31-year-old woman is facing charges of general peace disturbance for heckling the president today during a speech at today's Advanced Renewable Energy Conference in St. Louis. The woman interrupted the president's speech by yelling, "Soldiers are not renewable and get out of Iraq now." She was then escorted out of the hall.
Oh, is this the heckling woman we heard earlier? Nah, she doesn't know how to heckle. Chinese woman knows how to heckle.
The Coca-Cola company says it'll introduce a new green tea beverage that has been proven to burn calories. This is called Inviga. It'll hit the market of the Northeast next month and nationwide in January. Coke said it is the product of a joint venture with Nestle and could burn 60 to 100 calories with 3 12-ounce servings.
So you burn calories by drinking it?
Apparently so, that's the claim.
How does that even... but that doesn't make any sense.
That's like grapefruit.
I knew you were going to say that because I was going to say the same thing about celery, but that's different, though, because...
Because you're not burning calories, but you're not ingesting any calories, so therefore the act of eating is making you lose calories.
Exactly, and they always say that, like, with celery and grapefruit or whatever, that you burn calories. But when they say that you burn calories by eating celery, I mean, it's technically true, but it's, like, it's such a tiny, tiny amount. It basically is whatever it takes your body to process, like, a celery stick, which is, like, nothing. It's just that you're not gaining any calories because there's nothing in it. How is it, and this is a regular, it's called what, Invigor?
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Vigor from Viso.
Right.
And you burn how many calories per serving?
60 to 100 calories with three 12-ounce servings.
I don't even know how that's possible. That seems like one of those things that violates... Doesn't seem like that violates some thermonuclear law or something
it
or other?
It speeds up metabolism and increases energy use, especially when combined with caffeine.
This sounds dangerously similar to some other things that have been on the market in the past, especially when combined with coffee and an aspirin. Because that was the whole thing with when they sold ephedrine. When ephedrine was legal, they would sell these things. And any weightlifter, anybody you know who works out will tell you this, they sold these things called ECAs, or stackers. And the thing was... that an ECA stack was ephedrine, caffeine, and aspirin. There was something in the acetylsalicylic acid that's in... a little Rick Moranis there. I bought these as acetylsalicylic acid. I got these for $1.99 as opposed to $3.99 of the name brand. This party's a whole write-off. That's why I invited clients instead of friends. You combine the ephedrine with the caffeine and the aspirin. It sped up your metabolism. It doesn't seem like anything that you take that speeds up your metabolism enough to burn 100 calories could possibly be legal, though. You know what I mean? That's like when you
that
hear...
That could be the best friend of, like, anorexic girls everywhere.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't even know how that could be on the market. That's like when you hear about, I always wonder this. I always wonder if you could lose weight by just drinking stuff that was really cold. Because it takes energy to heat stuff, doesn't it? So if you just drink a bunch of stuff that's really ice cold, it sounds daft. But if you just drink a bunch of stuff that's really ice cold, it seems like your body's got to expend energy to heat it. And so therefore you would just lose weight that way. You hear me in the back?
I don't know.
Listen, no one does news quite like this program. Is that Tim Riley?
Well, officials are trying to track down the origins of a mummified human skeleton that a Michigan woman tried to sell on eBay.
Fantastic.
The medical examiner's office confiscated the mummified remains from the home of Lynn Sterling. She told police she got the remains from a friend who works in demolition. And he found them in a Detroit school, which he helped tear down nearly 30 years ago. It is a medical use skeleton, Sterling told the Times Herald of Port Huron. I would have never put it on eBay had I thought anything other than that. She won't face charges.
Fantastic.
It is very old. It's probably the same type of dissection that was part of some type of science class, and over time into the hands of someone, into the general public.
Wait, this is a high school? What kind of school was this?
It wasn't a school.
Oh, it was not a school. Oh, okay. Okay. You're just sitting behind the couch. All right.
Two students in Leesburg, Florida have been suspended for wearing Ku Klux Klan-like costumes to class amid apparent rising racial tensions at a high school.
Apparent rising racial, did you think? What was the first clue, do you suppose?
Well, two black students have been arrested and charged with felonies after allegedly getting into the fight with the white students wearing the costumes. There is a problem, admits the principal.
Yes. That's what you call having no plausible denial that is not transparent.
Madonna's adoption of an African child has been given the go-ahead. The BBC reports that a judge in Malawi has approved the singer's application to adopt the one-year-old boy and has given Madonna and her husband, Guy Ritchie, permission to take custody of the child. The birth father, Yohani Banda, said he has spoken with Madonna and Ritchie. Banda also said that the singer had promised to bring the boy back to visit him every once in a while. Word that Madonna had adopted the child surfaced last week. The rumors were eventually denied by her rep, Liz Rosenberg. A spokeswoman said this week that current legal issues were preventing her from making an official statement regarding the adoption, and she had been advised by lawyers to say nothing.
Well, that's just sad. I'm not saying that children everywhere don't deserve to be adopted, but clearly this is Madonna's. It's like I read there's these stories from like the 80s when Kiss was really on the downward spiral in their career before they kind of had the resurgence, and when Bon Jovi was sort of at their apex, and Bon Jovi was the biggest, most successful band in the world, and Kiss used to have these meetings with their business manager where they would buy all of the rock and roll magazines of the day, like Circus and Cream and Metal Edge, and they would just spread them all out on the table, and they would just comb through every magazine for articles about Bon Jovi, and then they would just make a list on like a piece of like on a whiteboard, like on a dry erase board of everything Bon Jovi had done, and then they would just do all those things that month. They would just, that was their whole plan, was just to imitate like everything Bon Jovi did, like 1 through 10. And Madonna used to be the person that everybody did that with, and now Madonna clearly just sits there and reads up on whatever it is that Angelina Jolie has done. All right, there you go. Well, we'll come back. We'll do another visit to the Ministry of Truth at the top of the hour. Jim Roop coming up later on as well. Also, Peter Carlin. Let's get we'll get Rob here in a second. Let's talk to Ed. Ed, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
How you doing?
Ed, what's up, brother? What brings you to the program today?
Well, I believe my daughter can go against your bestseller right there on the radio station.
Now, is, do you have a... Now, just to ask this out of curiosity, do you have... Am I detecting an accent of some kind?
Like an illegal alien or something like that?
I didn't say that, Ed. That would be your estimation. So, do you have a daughter? Is she around? Is she in school? Or is she able to do this during the program?
Yeah, she's here. She didn't have school today, though, so that's why she's with me at work.
How old is your daughter, if I may ask?
She's 11.
She's 11 years old. Would you say that she is a decent speller?
Well, they told me that she's not that good, but at least she can do better than Scotty.
Okay. This is fantastic. What is your daughter's name, Ed?
America.
Are you screwing with me? Is this real,
totally
true? Are you screwing with me?
No, her name is America, and her mom's name is America also.
Is that so? This is you. Are you being completely on the level with me, as they say?
Yeah, on the level.
All right. Her name.
Where are you working, Ed? That you could bring your daughter to work.
Where what?
What kind of work do you do?
We do accessories. I have a business right here in Salem, where we do detailing. We put our car accessories. We can lift your cars, your trucks, lower them too. All kind of toys for your cars, trucks.
Sarah?
I don't know what to say.
All right.
I want to talk to the daughter.
All right, so you wish to speak to America?
I would love to speak to America.
That's a joke. So I'm not even going to make up. All right, please now then, can we be speaking to your daughter, Ed?
Hold on a second. Let me put her over to the phone.
Do you have any spelling words? Do I need to look up some spelling words?
Well, I've got news stories out around me filled with words.
Okay, there she is.
Hello, America?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, how are you, America?
Good.
That's a great name, by the way.
Thank you.
Don't let anybody make fun of your name. It's a great... Is that your first name?
Yeah.
What is your middle name, if I can ask?
I don't have one.
You don't have a middle... Okay, that's fine. Don't let anybody give you any guff about your name. That's a cool name to have.
Thank you.
All right. So, what grade are you in, America?
Sixth
grade.
Huh?
All right. So, are you a... what's your favorite subject? What are you good at?
Orchestra.
So, are you into music? You take a lot of music classes? You take music classes, they teach you, is that like part of school? They teach you, have you like a music class there?
Yeah.
All right. How are you in English class?
Good.
All right. Are you a good speller, do you think?
Yeah, I guess.
What did you, if you remember, what did you get on the last, when's the last time you had a spelling test? Did you do good at that? Do well at that?
Well, the last time I had a spelling test, probably second grade.
So let me ask you this. Just, I'm going to ask you a question.
I remember taking spelling tests in fifth grade.
Well, this is the, and I was reading an article about this the other day. So I was just reading. Let me ask you a question. This is totally unrelated to the issue at hand. Do they, because they did this when I was in school, and I don't think they do it anymore. Do they give you penmanship classes? Do they teach you classes where you learn how to write in cursive?
Yeah.
Really?
Last year in fifth grade, my teacher made us write in cursive. He made us write cursive. He made us do everything in cursive. If we didn't do it in cursive, we had to do it over again.
That's such crap. Once you get out of school, you never have to use cursive again, ever.
Seriously, and no one will ever ask you to do that. No one will ever, ever, ever ask you to that or fractions. Just know this. Unless you're a baker, no one will ever ask you to use fractions in your life. That's just a little bit of knowledge from us to you, America.
Okay.
All right. Let me ask you, spell for me... Sarah, what's a good word? What's an equivalent word for what Scotty J has been spelling the last few days?
No, I don't know.
Can you spell, separate.
Separate?
Separate, as in to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Okay, S-E-P-E-R-A-T-E.
It's actually S-E-P-A, but Scotty, don't feel bad, though, because Scotty J, who is 40 years old, by the way, also misspelled that word. So you guys, on equal footing. It's a very common mistake. Sarah, why don't we give her one more, and then we'll have a little face-off here.
Okay, how about the word scenic?
Scenic. Oh, as in it's a scenic route?
Yes,
so,
a scenic drive.
The word scenic? So if you're taking a scenic drive where everything is very beautiful, can you spell scenic?
Scenic. S-E-N-I-C.
Sarah Dillon?
No, it has a C in it.
It has a C in it. Oh, Scotty J is saying that it's too... So, oh, please. You were only able to spell that because we just said it, Scotty. So.
And then you could Google it really quick.
Seriously, and then you were able to Google it there. So, all right. I'll tell you what, America.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on hold for a second. Tell your dad to hang on hold. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. So don't go anywhere. I'm going to put you on hold, and we will take a commercial break, and we'll come back, okay?
Okay.
All right, there you go. Hang on, America. All right, don't go anywhere. All right. Hey, Scotty, would you pick up America and make sure that she knows to stay there? All right. Boy, I just don't even know. I don't know. What if we... Oh, did she hang up?
I think Scotty probably accidentally hung up on
Scott,
her.
Oh, Scott, did you cut off the small child? Oh, see, now I feel bad. What if he scolds her and she cries?
He won't.
Guilt on my soul forever. All right. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Back after this, the Rick Emerson radio program. The spell-off happens next. Don't go anywhere.